never known in history but one woman.
Is it running?
Yes.
Good. Who had a child without a human father. So I'm glad we also have Father's Day. I'm grateful to say to you that among the things that I remember about my mother is that day when, that night when I knelt beside her rocking chair and said, "Mother, I need to be saved," and she led me to Christ. And that was the one thing that always stuck out in my life, her Christian influence on me. And I could say a lot of other things about her. She could fix a lot of good food, particularly mashed potatoes and green beans, hamburgers, lots of other things, pies and cakes. But I know all of you on this day are having a moment to reflect on your mother. On occasion like this, there are usually one or two around in a group this size who maybe have some unfortunate memories of mother, because no one is perfect and not all mothers are what they wish they could have been. But the fact is, without them, you wouldn't be here. And the one thing I'm grateful for is that my mother gave me birth twice. There came to my attention this week an article from the Barner people. The research was done in March of this year about world effect upon our Christian faith. Other than saying it another way around, or the lack of our Christian faith affecting our world. Either way you want to read it. How many of you have a computer and receive that information? Many of you maybe didn't check it. If you're like me, you don't always check your emails at the right time for a long time. But there was an email forwarded, I believe, to everyone in the class, or at least, I guess, to the class list on Discovery. I'm not sure how that happened. If you want to read it, it's many pages long. I thought about making copies and decided perhaps, I don't know, there may be some copyright issues, plus I wasn't sure I had enough ink in my copier. But I'm going to summarize briefly what I read. Some notable findings among practicing Christians. 61% of practicing Christians. Now, practicing Christians were defined as those who go to church about once a month, or some other measure that's similar to that. 61% agree with some of the ideas that are among those that are rooted not in Christianity but in new spirituality, which says to me people want to know more about the Spirit. Our culture is crying out to hear about the Spirit of God. People talk about science and being rational and figuring things out, and we all know that's great. For instance, I'm going to see a doctor tomorrow. Carolyn's going to see one this week. Who else? Is anybody else in here? Who else in here is having something this week? I'm grateful for everything they've learned about science and how our bodies work, and hopefully they can fix this mess on my face. I don't know if they can or not, but we'll see. But there's a whole lot more to the world than the physical realm. 61% agree with ideas that are not based in Christianity, but in spirituality. 54% resonate with modernist views. Are you familiar with postmodernism? A simple definition of postmodernism is, and you know, no simple definition works for anything. You know how that works. But postmodernism basically says there is no absolute truth. I mean, what you think is truth may be truth for you, and what you think is truth for you. But what's the real truth? Say, you talk with someone, "Well, it's the way I see it." Well, you may believe the Bible, but I don't. So now prove to me about God. talk to me about God without quoting the Bible. That's postmodernism. Okay? 54% of Christians, practicing Christians, resonate with postmodernist views. 36% accept the ideas that are associated with Marxism. I don't know if you paid much attention to the past election and Bernie Sanders, but the things he talked about sounded good about being fair and everybody getting their fair share and helping everybody. But the basis of what he believes is based in Marxism. Somebody say, well, prove that. Well, you have to study Marxism and listen to what he had to say to get the point. But the point is, there is something in human beings that wants everything to be fair. Well, it's not fair that I get punished for what I did wrong and he didn't. So let's just be fair. Everybody have the same. Well, of course, that never works out. Not everybody ever has the same, because some people don't know what to do with what they have, and other folks do, and it looks like they have more.
Ted, if you want a good example, look at Venezuela right now.
Pardon?
If you want a good example, look at what's happening in Venezuela. They went that route, and now it looks like the government will probably be overthrown. But everybody's unhappy. Medical conditions are zero. Yeah. Food, they can't get food for the people. So anybody that doubts that, they just need to do a little study on them.
Yeah, Marxism is it's based upon the thinking of man. Our Christian views, we believe, are revealed to us from God. And as I have said, in a simplistic way, everything I know about God, I learned from Jesus. And someone says, yeah, but everybody interprets things differently. That's true. But if you just look at what he said, which leads me to say, by the way, beginning next Sunday, the Lord willing, we're going to go through the Sermon on the Mount, one verse at a time. I don't know how long it'll take. I promise you it won't take 3 years. I won't labor that long with it unless something happens that I don't know about. But we're going to look at what did Jesus really teach. And the fourth thing I want to share with you about these notable findings among practicing Christians, 29% believe ideas that are based on secularism. Now, this is from the Barner Group in their study. I don't know if you know George Barner. He is a Christian, but his work is always trustworthy. The scientific way of doing surveys and that kind of thing is followed rigidly by his organization. There's no attempt to make it biased one way or another. I won't go into too much of that further, but there's a long, long list of things that I could read to you, and I encourage you, if you've got it on your computer, to just glance through it and read some of the things that are there. Three people have said something to me about it this morning. And the one word they used, as I said, yeah, right, their one word was scary. Our Christian influence in our world is diminishing in America among Christians. And so you get the point of why I probably sound a little bit dogmatic. I don't mean to sound that way, but I want to be certain about, what do we really believe about the Trinity? What is our view of the world? What is it about how God has revealed himself to us in Jesus? And we've experienced him as a heavenly Father who's loving and forgiving, yes, and holds us accountable, not primarily judge, but loves us. And what do we see in the sacrifice of Jesus dying for our sins? We see that the real issue we deal with as human beings is sin. We all know we're not perfect, but we are convinced that every one of us is a sinner. And there are many folks who want to argue about the doctrine of original sin. I don't want to get into that logic, but the fact is, you don't have to teach a child a lie. You have to teach them to tell the truth and take the consequences. Or as Jesus said, deny yourself and follow me. And we've experienced the Spirit of God working in us and touching us. And we know God is present right here. And we know what the Bible teaches is that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we should not abuse ourselves unnecessarily. Maybe a little bit of more exercise would help me, but why?
In light of these statistics, mm-hmm. it's great that we have Aaliyah Schobel.
Who?
Aaliyah Schobel, she's the 26-year-old that leaves her day job and goes and coaches young people in sports, but using Christian values.
Well, good. I don't know who you're talking about.
She won the Harvard.
Is she in here?
She used to be.
Oh, okay. All right. Yes, you want to say something, Ray?
The article that we pass around here, she's in the article and explains.
Oh, that's the one, okay, yes. I'm sorry. I didn't see. I'm sorry. I didn't. I heard you, but my hearing didn't pick up the detail. I hope I get to see it. If not, I hope I'll get to see it later on. The one thing that is important today is for us to remember what I said last week and 2 weeks ago, and I'm going to say it one more time, because as I told you one time, one of the keys of good teaching is to say what you're going to say, say it, and then remind you what you said. And so I want you to hear this. It is more important for you to know what we believe as Christians than it is to know what other people believe. Because if you know what you believe, you can recognize that which is not the truth. We believe that what we have in Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We believe that if you'd been present and seen him, you'd see the Father. And we believe that, as he said, those who have not seen me and yet believe are more blessed. And we believe that he said he would send the Spirit to us. And he talked regularly about what the Holy Scripture spoke, which we know was the Old Testament. Therefore, we believe the Old Testament is filled full. I don't like the word fulfilled. It's filled full of the truth of God in the New Testament, which is the written historical record of Jesus and the early church. That's our belief. And we believe the way they saw the world is the way it really is. I spoke to you last week about Islam, and the week before about the Mormons, and about some of the things they believe that are different, but I bet most of you don't remember most of that unless you were taking notes. But the important thing to remember is, what do we believe? So today we're going to talk a little bit about the Trinity and Eastern religions. A little bit. Not a whole lot, because most of you don't want to study that. I don't blame you. I don't either. However, this is important to understand. The Eastern religions are greatly affected by the culture, just as our culture used to be greatly affected by our faith. And somewhere along the way, Christianity began not to be the main thing, the Judeo-Christian beliefs, the main thing in America. In our effort to be tolerant and not to force religion down people's throat, there came this time in American life in the 1960s, I'm old enough to remember it, some of you are, in the 1970s, when all sorts of things were being talked about experiencing God in you, that you are, in essence, a God. And if you would meditate and say certain things regularly, you would hear from God and you'd recognize that you and God are one. Now, if you're not familiar with this, you need to understand that's why in the Old Testament the prophets and the leaders said to those who were there, do not go and listen to shamans and magicians and witches. But the Lord your God is the one God. There's only one God, and he is it. And don't go worshiping your ancestors and trying through spirits to talk to your ancestors. Somebody say, well, you really can't do that. Well, I don't know. There are a lot of people who say they do. But here's what I want to say about it. So what? My granny wasn't God. My great-granddaddy was not God. And we must be clear about what we believe as Christians. Why do we not do that? Because we want to hear from God. Christ in us is our only hope of glory. It's Colossians, the first chapter, toward the end of that chapter, verses 20, 21, 22, right in there. Christ in us is our hope of the brilliance and splendor of glory. So, our culture has begun to be affected by those who look at culture from India as being the way to live. And if you talk to a person who is from India, or someone who's one of these who's in the New Age spiritualism, or Hindu, Buddhist, or some of the other religions, pagan religions, and pagan means people of the field. It's not a negative term. It's just ordinary people who don't know where God is, so they turn to themselves and what they can think about God. Figure it out. Now, what does it mean to say that? You know, the Indian religions, and from that part of the world, there's about probably not quite as many as there are as Christians, but as billions of people in the world who follow one of those religions, Indian, Hindu, and the Buddhists came from the Hindus, of course, as you know, and there are many others. I'm not going to read it. Pardon?
Confucius.
Yeah, Confucius. And so on you go. There's so many of them. Their idea of law is the law of karma. Karma. It's sort of fatalism. It's you're indifferent to the plight of others, and the fact is everybody's plight is inescapable anyway. There's nothing you can do about it because it comes from their past. Past life. You're going to be reincarnated. Reincarnation is really popular among a lot of the young folks. It is interesting, however, that most of the people who are affected by this are boomers and those who follow the boomers. The millennials are not as affected, but there it's an amazing thing. There seems to be, I don't know the figures on it, but there seems to be a movement in culture among those who are born basically in this century toward looking for absolute truth. But there's no idea of absolute truth in Eastern religions.
Hinduism has 300,000 gods.
Yeah, the Hindus have over 330,000. Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. And anybody can be a god, and you can be a Christian. A man was at a prayer break at the presidential prayer breakfast in the 1990s. I think it was. I wish I knew when it was, but I did know it at the time. Stood and claimed, he led in prayer and claimed he was a Hindu Christian. That's
an oxymoron.
That's like saying I'm a female man. Sorry, I didn't want to go. I shouldn't have crossed that bridge.
I
don't want to go there.
Colossians.
I don't want to go there. They give, the Eastern religions give a lot of emphasis to intuition. Well, we all know about intuition. I remember when my father-in-law was critically ill and coming near to the end of his life, and one morning we woke up and Margaret said, Ted, I just feel I've got to go see Dad today. And it was a 4.5-hour drive. I said, well, go. She said, I don't know why, I just feel I've got to go. So she got in the car and drove to see them. She came to the door, her mother met her and said, I knew you were coming. And truth is, he died the next day, wasn't it, honey? Well, was that God? I don't know. I'm not God. But we all know the power of intuition. When and particularly, sometimes people say women are more sensitive to it than men. I don't know if that's true or not. I can't speak to that. However, intuition can lead you in the wrong direction. gurus and sages are manufactured regularly in Hindu and Buddhist life. Religion is not committed to propositional truth in the New Age way. There is no propositional truth. See, our proposition is that God created the world. They would say, oh, no, 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 no. It just happened. There's that wonderful article. And if you want to think about those who follow that way of life, their commitment is to the ancient past. And that somehow we're living out things that are in our ancient past. I don't doubt that. I can look back. I know a few years ago I did a little research on my family, and my wife had told me that I was dealing with depression. I said, oh no, I'm just tired, just a little down. I'd pray hard, nothing changed. Not that God didn't love me, just nothing changed. So I did a little research, make this long story short, and I discovered, I knew my dad got down once in a while, but he was generally an up guy. I found out my granddad and my great-granddad and my great-great-granddad dealt with, you know, being down once in a while, which now today we'd say that a low-level depression. Well, I finally had some friends of mine said, Ted, if somebody came to see you having trouble like you sometimes have, what would you tell them? I said, go get a medical exam, make sure you're okay physically. And if that doesn't do it, you need to find somebody to help you. So they said, when are you going to do it? I said, I will. So I went to a doctor, and he sent me another one, long story. And the short version is, the guy sat down, listened to me for about 15 minutes, and he said, you have what is known as genetically chronic low-level depression. You inherited it. So now I know my ancient past. Someone once asked me, I was pastor of a church, said, how did you do that through those 2 or 3 years? And I said, my constant belief was, with God's help, no matter what's happening, I can get up every day and go to work, do the best I can. And thank God, he had given me a wife who understood and loved me and forgave me of many things that I didn't mean to cause trouble about. And 2 lovely daughters who felt that way. So knowing my ancient past just told me something, but didn't make me any better. Because the idea is that in Christ I have hope. What is hope? Expectations that things will move on. Yes. Speak, Ken.
I'm trying to figure out how to say this. This thing about new spirituality and what it really came to my mind when you were talking about Eastern religions. And I love, you know, I have friends that have been involved in some of that. But living overseas, living in Africa, where, you know, you don't talk about it much, but where you see physical manifestations of demon possession. You see
demon possession.
Yeah, yes. I mean, you see, and you believe me or not, but, you know, I mean, we witnessed that with the witch doctors.
I'm sure you did.
Called them the Guliwamkulu and so forth, but the Eastern religions too, in India. I was in Calcutta one time. Carolyn was with me. She wasn't at this temple. It was a temple called Kali Temple. And Bobby Rankin, who's Jerry Rankin's wife, spoke about this many times, about this place. Well, his friend and I went to take a tour of the temple, and they showed us first the altar where from 6 a.m. till noon they slaughtered animals, sacrificed animals. Mm-hmm. Then from noon on, the people came and laid their heads and necks in that blood and gore. Mm-hmm. And then went into Inkali, this idol, very demonic looking, very scary. You go in and the people are pushing and shoving. They're in a state of spiritual frenzy.
Yes.
I mean, there's no other way to describe it.
Exactly.
And I'm saying this because sometimes in America we say, that's things of the movies. Listen, I've experienced it. We know about it. And so we got through that and we're trying to leave and we're stopped by a temple guy. And he wouldn't let us leave. And it was one of those times, a few times along the way, that I have felt like my life was threatened. And it was then. He would not let let us leave because we refused to give any money to Colley. And so, kind of a funny part of the story, the guy I was with was a journeyman in Malawi where we spoke Chichewa. And we met each other long years ago, but there we were together. They were now serving in Calcutta. And the guy wouldn't let us go. We had had our taken our shoes off, and our socks were just filthy and wet from walking through this temple. I'll just leave it at that.
Sure.
And so we quietly, as he standing guard of us, not letting us leave, put our shoes on. My friend looked at me and he said, Tieni. And in Chichewa, that's let's go, let's get out of here. And we ran. And the guy chased us for a long way through the market getting out. When we got outside, my friend, the younger guy, said, I'm sure glad you still remember some of your Chichewa from Malawi. But just to know that what you're talking about, new spirituality, postmodernism, all these things, they are ancient, really.
We yes, they are.
They're new, but and all you have to do is go to the Dark Continent, go to India, go to some of these places, go to China and see some of the evil images there and the ancestor worship and all that is taking place in those temples. And, you know, if you live there a while, you'll find out this is real stuff.
Right. It's real stuff and it's
make good. It much time, but just to know that it is real.
It's real.
It's not Hollywood. It's real stuff. It's pure world.
One of the things that you learn from family systems theory, which Tom has talked about some, and I've studied a lot about it, about emotionally healthy spirituality. It does help to know about your family and how they functioned. But as the Bible teaches us, the day is coming when God will put His Spirit in each one of us, and each one of us is accountable for our own choices and life and what we do with it. We cannot blame it on our parents and ancestors. As I say, and my wife would say, there's no excuse for that, right? And there's nobody bad in my wife's family. And I too sometimes say things that may not be true. But here's what I want you to understand today as I talk about the Trinity. These things that I'm talking about are totally based on intuition and on gurus who get ideas. And so, you remember, who was that lady that Shirley somebody?
Shirley MacLaine.
Shirley MacLaine, if you read some of the things she said, you can see how she has affected America. There was a book came out about 15, 20 years ago called A Course in Miracles. Do you remember that? I remember people in the church where I was pastor were reading it and said, oh, you've got to see this. It's amazing. So I bought it and read it, and I said, that is a lot of hooey. And I said, it's based on things that are not true. I based my life on truth. Well, it's your definition of truth. You don't understand. There's other definitions of truth. Mm-hmm. But my truth is based on reality, the way things are. That's the way I see it. Yeah, please speak up.
In my Bible, they define the Eastern tendencies of the Trinity. It defines it by saying this about it.
Speak.
It says, the formation defies rational discourse, since it tells us that we cannot say anything definitive about who God is, with the result that the Christian life is reduced to non-cognitive, mystical contemplation. It introduces into God a division, not a distinction.
That's what I was getting. I was coming to that, but you spoke it well. What Bible is that? I want to know what that version is.
This is the English Standard Version Study Bible.
Study Bible for the ESV.
ESV.
Oh, that's very helpful. Is that just something that's in the back of the Bible, or just at the bottom of the page, or what is that?
Oh, it's in the back of the Bible. This is
well, I would just want to say to you all, if you have a good study Bible that has that kind of information, be grateful that God has given in the heart and mind of somebody to explain to you. Yeah, speak up, Ray.
I guess just to recap what you're saying, I mean, it just proves what you just said initially, is that the world is hungry for spirituality. And the second thing is that there are a lot of false prophets. And it's like you said, you got to get back to the heart of it. We have to know exactly what we believe.
All right.
Because there's a lot of false.
There's a lot of it. You're exactly right.
Fake news or whatever.
Thank you.
The NT Wright book, After You Believe.
Pardon?
It's like the N.T. Wright book, After You Believe.
Yes, N.T. Wright has a great book that I used it as a basis for some stuff on faith, hope, and love. Mm-hmm. After You Believe. People want to know, well, is it just accepting Jesus as your Savior? Well, yes, but he said, go make disciples and teach them everything I have taught you. And discipling a Christian is not about just baptizing them. It's about them as they, particularly if at the age of Will, he's 9 today. He's very smart for a 9-year-old, but he's 9. Extremely smart. He's in the gifted program of Chesapeake County. I don't know if he's more gifted than anybody else, but he is gifted. Well, he needs the good guidance of a mother and dad who love him and answer his questions and guide him to know what the truth is so he can know the truth is based on reality. Much like Francis Collins, I remember telling you that the book is The Language of God. This man who was ahead of the whole DNA program in the world, and they got all this big string, you know, tells you where all this DNA string is. A brilliant scientist who is a very conservative, God-fearing man. And he writes in the book, In the Language of God, how he came to get to that point. And the worldview which we Christians hold is not well understood by the average member of this church. Of any church. Because when you speak about worldview, what are we talking about? Well, where did it come from? God. We start with God. Who is the main character of this book? God. See, and we start there. We don't start with ourselves and our own understandings, and our own intuition, and our discussions with each other. It's good to discuss with each other, but with good teaching. Okay, we'll move right on very quickly. In one of the things I was reading, a fella was talking about how the New Age religions and all these other things are about how do you become a better person? And eventually you either become one with the source of life or whatever it is, or you stop getting brought back in the world to try to earn yourself to be good or whatever. The Christian faith is not about being a better person, although people who do follow Jesus Christ turn out to be better. The Christian faith is about Jesus coming to us who are dead to make us alive. Dead in our sin. Alive in Jesus Christ. In Adam we all die. In Jesus Christ we're all made alive. Do you see what I'm saying about the Trinity? The Father sent Jesus to us. Why? Because all those human sacrifices you're talking about, all that blood, didn't change those folks. He says, I'm going to put my spirit in you, and every man will know who I am, and every woman. And Joel said, in the latter days, my sons, your sons and daughters will speak the truth. That's the word prophecy, preach, teach. So, I want to close this way and say, there are some things you need to know. When you get to things that have no truth, in them. They have no basis for it because they say, well, it's not based on truth. This is how I see it. This is the way I feel about it. And this is how so many others feel. And many people are saying this today, and it's popular. 61% of Christians. Well, that's what we call platitudes, not truth. It's not based on any common sense understanding of reality. There's a pantheon of values that people say, well, there are certain values that every people have, so we're all going to the same God. And you'll hear that whole argument about the elephant, you know, and you touch the trunk or the so on and so on. But the problem is that experience doesn't deal with the reality. You're looking at an elephant. God is not the same in all religions. The God revealed to us in Jesus Christ is the one God. And that's what we believe. And like I told you several weeks ago, I heard this missionary say that when a missionary had come to the tribe and gave a witness of Jesus, the lady came up afterwards and said, I want to thank you. I always had the sense there is a God like that. I just didn't know his name was Jesus. God is not without the ability to reveal himself anywhere. But it is our ability, our privilege to go and tell them who that God really is. And let them begin to see the world as it is. It is amazing, is it not? I'm going to come to a close. That Christianity is growing like crazy in China in the last 50 years. It is amazing. It's growing like crazy in Africa and South America. Is it not? Mm-hmm. Why? Because they know that all these silly religions give them no hope. But in Jesus, there is hope. I've said enough, and I must leave to go and baptize. So can we pray together? Our Father, we're grateful that you have revealed yourself completely in Jesus. And we thank you for who we see him to be and what we learn of him. And through him to know you, Father. Thank you for sending yourself to us as he has sent himself to us in the Spirit. And we sense your presence right now in this room. We are one because of you. And we're learning to see the world as it really is because you have revealed yourself in Jesus and sent your Spirit to guide us into all truth. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we love you. Amen. Amen. And blessings on you.
OG. I think you did it.
If not.
Oh, it's not long enough, huh?
Pregnant.
You turn the red button on the side there.
Well, I touched that.
Did you hold it down? Was it sound?
So it stopped blinking. But I can't tell. I don't know. I think I may have turned it back on.
Let me see. This is menu.
Isn't it?
It says it's recording.